I think it goes without question that if you had both shoes, you would have got the world record. But like, what do you think you would have run on that day if you didn't lose the shoe?
Confidently, I can say like
Michael Jordan, Muhammad Ali, Corey Belmore, among the goats in sports history. Mr. Corey Belmore joining the podcast. No one does it better.
A real Mount Rushmore.
That's right.
It's always fun to talk to Corey. I feel like a lot of people, especially those who were like at Worlds, who know of Corey but have not necessarily met him. I feel like Corey can be an intimidating figure. You know, he's relatively tall. He's in shape, and I don't know. He's one of the nice. He's Canadian nice, so it's always a joy to hang out with him, whether you're slamming beers or just shooting the shit.
Yeah, fun to catch up with him. Selfishly for us, just good to check in with him. We hadn't really chatted much since Worlds, so yeah, fun to just see how he's doing, chilling on the beach, living that island life at St. Martin as Adam and I are, you know, working our tails off in the Chicago area. not on vacation, but yeah. Great chatting with Corey. Also, you know, correction to something we said in the interview with him. I think we said that his race had been viewed like 10 million times. Well, since we recorded that a day later, it's like at 12 million views. And probably by the time this episode comes out in a couple of days, it'll be more like 15, you know, 15 million views, 20 million views. And yeah, I don't know. It's exciting stuff. The one shoe wonder, Corey Belmore, is, you know, stealing the spotlight again.
We talk a bit about it in the interview, but like, I don't know who's to say that the one shoe aspect wouldn't have, like, you know, maybe that's more popular than if world record actually went down.
It's true. Who's to know? Well, the world record will happen next time because, yeah, Corey knows he can do it. We know he can do it. And we just got to set him up for another good one. Probably next year, maybe not. Maybe not before then, but maybe we should just do a Corey Belmore world record race. Be kind of cool.
Yeah, you know, I'd be down to take a nice mini vacation over to Canada and have Corey rip a fast beer mile in front of all of the cameras.
Oh yeah, that'd be well worth it. Speaking of Worlds, we still have a few Worlds merch items left, and you know, we got the, if you're watching the video version here on Spotify, we got the shirts, we got the USA beer mile tanks, flash that for the camera. Oh yeah. We got the,
there's the still hat, time. It's the still pint summer. Glass. Those tanks right above me are popping off.
These tanks are the lightest, most comfortable tanks that you've ever worn to drink a beer in or to run in. So
I have seen in the Chicagoland area, on the Lakeshore path, I have seen a couple of the official race tees and the tanks. So
that's awesome. That is so cool. Yeah. Everything except for the USA beer mile tanks are discounted as well. So we'll have a link in the description. Go get that merch now. We're down to not that many items left, especially if you're a normal size, like medium or large, not many items left in inventory on those. So get over there, cop your stuff now. My wife will also thank you for freeing up space in our house. So, you know, you're just know that you're also helping me out in the process, as well as, you know, making yourself look sweet.
Speaking of freeing things up in the house, if you've been paying attention to one of our world sponsors' Instagram story, you'll know that the Long Run Coffee folks have their house filled with a bunch of new inventory.
Yeah, I do not envy Long Run Coffee owner and the way that his apartment looks with how many pounds of coffee do you think he has in his apartment right now?
I mean, like, for sure in the hundreds.
In the hundreds. Yeah. We're probably not approaching a ton of coffee yet.
I think it might be 1,000 though, because there's
1,000 pounds.
I actually went by to drop a few things off post Worlds, and it was like, I mean, there's like at least 25 pound bags, if not 40. So that's already 200 pounds. So maybe it is 1,000
just in the 5 pound bags.
It's wild. That's crazy.
Wild. Yeah. So also help him out and order yourself some electrolyte infused coffee. It's the perfect blend for pre-run, perfect hangover cure. It's really just the best everyday coffee that you can have. Longruncoffee.com. And there's a discount as well. Beer mile, all one word, will get you 10% off. But yeah, I don't know what else to say about that.
Oh, I mean, the new, they went from the like kind of brown paper bag farmer's market look to a full body design. Dude, it looks sick.
It does. And it tastes that much better because it looks that much sicker.
I mean, there's something to that. There's something to that. it's the coffee. It's the coffee equivalent of look good, feel good, race good. You know,
it is. Absolutely. Also got to thank Manscaped sticking with us for more than 2 years. Still partners in crime, manscaped.com. Use code BEERMILE, all one word, for 20% off and free shipping. Grab yourself some of those boxers, the Lawnmower 4.0, all the different colognes and body washes, you name it. I mean, they got it.
Tis the season for the boxers. You know, it's summer, you're going to get swass, and what better underwear to get swass in than something that's super breathable yet absorbent.
That's right. Manscaped.com, use code BEERMILE, all one word. What else we got? Anything else we got before we dive into this with Corey?
You know, you support the Beer Mile, send that reel to all your homies and blow that shit up. And the next couple reels that we pull out, I don't know, they should be just as dope because we'll have, you know, another 8-9 terabytes of video footage to pull from. So, keep plugging those and blow it up for next year.
Well said.
Team Canada is led by 4-time world champ and world record holder from 2016. He owns a personal best of 4:28 in the Beer Mile, Corey Bellamore.
All right, Corey, it's been long overdue having you back on. It's been like almost 2 years, I think. I think we had you on after you set the world record in 2021. So why do we deserve your presence while you're on vacation in St. Martin? Thank you for the time. How's vacation going?
Man, it's only fitting. I'm on vacation. I'm having a beer and I'm talking to two great guys who hosted this exceptional event a couple weeks ago. And I feel like it's my duty to come back and show appreciation for how hard you guys worked. And yeah, man, I mean, there's a lot to talk about. So let's, it's gonna be a good combo.
Absolutely. So how far into the trip are you? How many days you got left out there?
So we're here till Thursday. So we have another 5 days or so here, which it's gonna be awesome. I'm excited to spend some more time in the heat, but need to recover from the sunburn a little bit.
Speaking of recovery, how's the foot going?
Okay, thankfully, I took last week or the week after the Beer Mile completely off. Didn't run at all. It was like pretty torn up. I just tried to like clean it out, bandage it up, and I didn't like walk or anything. So it was pretty cut up. Like I probably sent you guys a picture as well. Like literally a piece of my toe is just like, I don't know. It was just an L shape out of it. It was just a chunk gone. So like everyone's like, why don't you try and get stitches? And I'm like, there was nothing to stitch. Like it was just a chunk that was missing. I think it's, I just land so hard on that side of the foot that it was just a little bit, but I'm good now. I think it's, there's some new skin over it. So it's still like, there's layers that have to be made up, but it's the healing I think is pretty good right now.
Yeah. Are you running on vacation or were you planning to take some time off anyway?
So I took that full week off and then, I was going to train until nationals, but, after the Beer Mile, I sort of just took a step back and we closed on a house too. So with that injury, like getting this house in the next week, it's just, there's a lot of eggs and a couple different baskets. So I don't want to put too many more in other ones.
Fair enough. Well, shit, now I feel bad. Like we ruined your run at nationals because you came to our race and screwed up your foot. I feel bad about that.
Nah, all worth it. All worth it to chug a couple beers with some good mates. So, hell of a time, man.
Well, good. Glad you're getting some celebration in, with the house as well. That's pretty awesome. So man, going into this race, like, what were you? Training seemed to be going well. You ran 3:41 for a 1500. Like, what were you thinking going into the race? Like, were you in your head? Were you like, world record's a given, just a matter of how fast, or like, how were you thinking about it?
Yeah, I just want, like, I think I said to you guys before the race, I'm like, I just want to rip this shit. Like, I just wanted to do that race stuff. And I think, like, going into it fitness wise, definitely, like, was looking forward to trying getting a world record. I think the fitness was, like, more than capable of that. And then I think once the madness happened and the shoe came off and the adrenaline got pumping even more. I think I gunned that first lap like harder than I should have. I think I would have gunned it harder regardless, but I think after that shoe fell off, it was like, F it. Like we're just going to like go for it and see what happens. And looking back on it, definitely don't regret it at all. But it probably cost me like a little bit of like my legs got tired a little bit quicker for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. You were ripping, like roughly a minute after one beer, one lap, and then like 206 at halfway. So like you were on, you know, 412, 413 pace or whatever it was at halfway. I mean, yeah, that you definitely got after it. And, do you think, I mean, I think it goes without question that if you had both shoes, you would have got the world record, but like, what do you think you would have run on that day if you didn't lose the shoe?
Confidently, I can say like world record. Like beyond that, I want to say like 426, 27, somewhere in there. But like, I think having like the bounce coming from that 1 foot that the spike was on and then just feeling flat and like literally like your foot is longer or your leg's longer on one side.
Yeah.
They're like shorter. So just, I don't know, messed up my stride a bit for sure. And then like the pain that my foot was feeling from just getting shredded on the track. It wasn't the most fun race. Beer miles are never the most fun race, but like that definitely made it a little bit worse.
Have you ever had a flat tire outside of this race?
No, never had a spike come off ever in my life. And that one seemed like it came off easy. And then I'm just on the Instagram comments, like people are like, don't wear Adidas ever again. And it's like,
yeah, that was it. Yep.
it was cool. A cool story to add. And like, other than my foot being absolutely mangled after the race, like the event itself is unbelievable. So.
Yeah. So, do you know how it came off? Like, did you feel someone step on it or like what exactly happened?
Yeah. So my Achilles is still a little scraped up. So I think the British runner, usually I don't get up that well on the first beer. So I chugged the first beer. I had better first beer than usual.
You had a really good, you were like fourth or something. Like you were still right up there. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, I don't know if it was like, I just had a good tilt, like got the bottle open really well. I don't know what it was, but had a good first beer and then got out. Yeah. Whether it was third, fourth, there was, I think the British guy was up on my outside. I was tucked in behind two of the guys. And then I tried to scoot out. And I think when I scooted out, he was also coming up with me. So I didn't have as much of an opening as I thought. He stepped on my heel, back of my spike went under my foot. And then I had about two steps where it was like under my heel. And I'm like, it's not going to stay there. So I sort of forcefully just like hit my back as hard as I could out. And it flew off.
Damn.
Yeah. So...
Did you think about, in hindsight, if we had known in the race, cause like, I didn't even know that your shoe came off. If we had known, it would have been awesome to know
until like lap three.
No one really knew probably, but you until later in the race, but it would have been nice to have known and done a callback. I mean, then everyone has to drink five beers instead of four, beers. but man, it probably would have been more beneficial to call it back to give you that shot versus having to run the race on the one shoe would be my guess.
I would have been game for that, to be honest. Like even my fiance or family, my family that were all around the bend, like literally where it happened, they didn't even know my shoe fell off. And then I don't know if it was someone that was helping out put the spike on the inside of the track. So like,
I saw that.
I saw it and like they saw it too, but they're like, oh, that's not his. And the sock I was wearing, like pretty much match my outfit and the other spike identically. So it was hard to like decipher between what actually was on my foot or what wasn't. But like, yeah, I mean, hindsight's 2020, like it happened. I just had to roll with it. And like, it's not like I could stop and put the spike back on. I didn't want to cost that time, but, I mean, it made for a good story. It just,
I feel like we need to send out a survey to all the athletes that competed in the championship races and be like, hey, in future years, like who would be for or against callbacks? Because it is like, I mean, 5 beers in the span of, you know, everyone's running under 8 minutes is like pretty aggressive, but also I don't know, getting it like as those races get more more people in them, it might be worthwhile to have like some rules around when a race gets called back. Cause that was like within the first 50 meters.
Yeah. I mean, regular track races, I think like within the first 100 meters, whatnot, they can call it back. Birma, I mean, I'm game. I'm sure the Swedes would hurt a little more because they're drinking all the way up to that event. they're timing it for those four beers. I can have four beers and then I have a night ahead of me and have a bunch more if I want. But the Swedes, I think they're a little more calculated. They're having their four beers before the event, four beers during, and probably 20 after.
So true. The other thing I was curious about with running with one shoe was like in that first lap, could you already tell that your foot was going to be mangled, or did it like the adrenaline take over enough that it didn't hurt too bad until later on, or was it out of the gate? It just sucked.
Yeah. I'd say like, as soon as it flew off and I like felt the spring from the one foot, but didn't feel it from the other, it just felt flat. Like it slapped on the ground. Then I was like, it's probably going to get, you're just going to get bruised, torn up, or like something's going to happen. Something's going to mangle it. So I'd say the first 200 adrenaline, not really thinking about it too much. But then after that, as I'm coming in and like slowing down, stopping, like starting back up, you just don't have that same grip, same traction. Like everything's feels a little off balance. Mentally I was like, still, I just like, let's rip it. Yeah, yeah. But like my body is just, your legs are taking more of the impact of the ground too. So I think it's tiring your legs out and your feet out a lot more.
Absolutely is. Yeah. I was still impressed. I still couldn't believe you got out as fast as you did. I don't think that's the fast. When you did 4:24 in Vancouver, were you out that fast? I mean, probably pretty close, I guess, but
I think maybe it was like a 56 lap. It was about a second, I think. Same with the 4:28 in England. I think that one was about a 55 second first lap. So it was like within a second for both, I think.
Yeah. I guess it on one hand, it worked out in the sense that the one shoe story is blowing up as much, if not more, than what a world record story would be. So I guess that's kind of cool on one hand, but I mean, how do you feel in general? Do you feel like shit, lost opportunity? Like I could have smashed it that day. Like how bummed are you about, missing the opportunity to do it there?
Yeah. I mean, my family, my friends were there. Like, my twin brother raced the open heats. One of my best friends from high school raced open heats. So like, I was jacked for them to be there. I was like, I just want to get a world record for these people that are here. Like, and like you guys did exceptional jobs. So like, and I always like when John's there, like he talks to me before the race and he's like, get after, man, you got this. So I think just like the lead up, I was like in shape to do it. And then when shit hits the fan and you don't do it, you're like, you know, you're just competitive. And I know it's only the beer mile, but at the end of the day, it's like, whether I'm in a competition that's just drinking related, running related, it doesn't matter. I just want to smash. Like let's get after it. So that was the disappointing part. It's like I wanted to do it for them, do it for the event.
Yeah, it's tough too. And like with a beer mile versus an open 1500, there's really the one big one every year. So it does kind of suck that's the one like super hype opportunity to do it. I mean, of course you could go to the track and go for it again, but I don't know. There are less opportunities than jumping in a 1500. And if you have a bad race, you can jump in another one hopefully in a week or two, but not as many world stage competitive beer miles going on.
that's the thing. Yeah. Back in the day when beer miles, like there was no world classic or anything like that, like the only way to feel a beer mile is to go do it on your own, time trial it. And like now I don't even know necessarily, like I haven't done a beer mile outside of the beer mile world classic in so long that like the environment, the atmosphere, the competitors make it so much easier and so much like more justifiable to do it instead of just going to the track with your buddies and like doing it solo. Like it's just, it's a different feeling to do it in a race. Like it's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty miserable. I did a couple practice ones going in this year with NA beer, just to remember what it feels like, and doing it, solo at 11 a.m. on a local middle school track. I was like, this is just sad. I don't want to be doing this. Like you can't get hyped up for it at all. You're just like, this is stupid. I want to be done. So yeah, it takes something, especially when you're, trying to just improve by like a second or 2 seconds, when you're already like at the limit, you're just trying to get a little bit faster. You have to have all that hype and adrenaline to really get it done.
100%. And I think like, the other thing is, it's not like you're making like millions off this event, but like at the end of the day, it's like there still is a world record bonus. So it's like,
oh yeah,
even that side of things, like that little bit of extra money helps for sure. And like that would have been nice just to like even add to the story of everything. But at the end of the day, there's always next year. There's always another race. So I'm still going to be doing these. I'm still hoping like you guys host more of these events in the future. And like, I think it's only going to get bigger and better. And hopefully these guys that keep messaging me on Instagram that say they can beat me, come show up and let's see it happen.
How many people have slid in your DMs like being like, oh dude, you're weak, like I could totally smoke you in a beer mile?
Yeah, a lot of people will like dismiss the running, like they're like, oh, you could beat me in the running, but like the drinking, I would smash you. Like everyone thinks, no matter who they are, if they think they're like a half decent drinker, they think they could 100% smash me, 100% contest with me. So I mean, I'm always gonna bet on myself. I let them think what they want to think. I reply to some people here and there just to give them a little taste of it. But I mean, I think we can hang with the best of the best.
Oh, for sure.
I feel like you need to post like a comparison of you just like you have a bottle that you just pour out without drinking it, and then have that next to you actually drinking it, and it's like literally the same time. It's like, yeah, so like you can't really improve on this, but I'd love to see you try.
100%. Yeah, that's the thing. It's like it is literally coming out pretty much as fast as it can come out. Like I know angles are everything when it comes is coming under the bottle, but like I think we've done enough to know, like we pretty much know the optimal angle of how to get the liquid out as quick as we can. So pint glass, different story, but like we are literally getting this liquid out as quick as we can every time, and we're out of breath and we're in the middle of a race, like running race. Like it's just stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, most of the comments are positive, but yeah, I love all the, I don't know. Yeah. You get some people who are like, oh, these are whatever. These are pussies. They're only drinking 12 ounce beers. Like drink pints like us, whatever. There were some people that said like, oh, my buddy, I'm pretty sure beat this time. It's like, no, he didn't. Like, come on. You know, it's you get some funny comments in there, people that are way overconfident. And then, you know, as you see in like a lot of people that did the open beer mile, they even before the race, they signed up with one seed time, and then they would email us like 2 weeks before the event. They'll be like, oh crap, I just went and did a practice one, and I was actually like 3 minutes slower than I thought I would be. I just thought it would be easier than that. So yeah, I think most people are overconfident in their abilities going in, both the running with carbonation in their stomach, as well as, you know, actually being able to chug the beers that quickly.
100%. Yeah. It's pretty funny, 'cause there's even like some army guys that have sent messages or made comments, and like, I mean, I'm no army guy, but like my parents met in the army, and we always joke like they had runs in the morning after like a night of boozing, and they drink pretty heavy in the army. So like maybe there was some genetic component that was carried down to the year, like through their DNA. I mean,
your brother ran a pretty good race, so maybe it is hereditary.
He did well. Yeah. I mean, I was on him after the race, 'cause like the laps in between, he looked like he was jogging, and then I don't know if you saw the race, but he spun at the last 200. I was like, Jay, like you could have gone so much quicker. And I think the night before, two nights before, when we were all in the studio, or in the stew, you guys asked me like, what do I think my brother will run, and would I be disappointed if he ran X time? And I think my answer was like, if he doesn't go under six, I'm going to be heavily disappointed. And he was like 6:04 or something. So,
but with cans.
True. There you go. Yeah.
True.
Yeah. No, that's solid performance for sure. I actually want to, here was what I was thinking about, to, you know, keep up in the ante and make it bigger and better next year. I was thinking like, what if we did like a crazy, ridiculous bonus to anyone that can beat you? So like what if we said anyone in the world, like we'll pay you $100,000 if you come and beat Corey at the World Classic. 'Cause I was even thinking about that for like myself. I'd be willing to make some bet of like, you know, I'll pay whatever X amount of money for if anyone can beat me that's not Corey Belmore, you know, just as a way to get more people to do it. Because then it could be good both ways. Like you could get some people to show up and we still smoke them and make them look bad, and that gets the sport more popular. Or say someone does show up and they're really good, at least we found like another person that's legit, and then that also still makes the sport more popular. So yeah, I don't know. What's the amount that I could be safe betting on you? Can I go 100K? I think I can, honestly. I don't know how many, you know, pro milers would have any shot of getting the technique down and in the chugging, because that just takes a lot of repetitions to get down.
Yeah, I mean, winner of USA's, don't they only get paid like $8,000?
True. Yeah. So if someone actually thinks they're
just
legit,
call it 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we will pay more than USATF. Like, come to the beer mall. I'm dead serious.
I like that. That'd be great marketing. Yeah. Hell yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like the thing is, like, combining drinking and running, like, anyone can be a good drinker. Anyone can be a good, like, most people can be good runners if they train for it. But like, to put the two together, it's just different. It's a different game. If you've never done it, you can think you're good at one thing, think you're good at the other, but like, those two things together are so unique. And like, your stomach, like, it has trouble handling that if it's not made for it. So, I mean, I'm game to, like, you guys want to take out second mortgages, like, I'm game to put that on the line. Like I'm pretty confident in my run abilities, and I'm very confident in my stomach and drinking abilities. So like, anyone wants to throw down or come compete, like, I'm not cocky in life. Beer mile is a different thing. It's a fun thing for me. So it's something like, I'm like, let's do it. Let's bash.
Yeah. No, I mean, no second mortgage needed, because it ain't happening. Nobody's actually going to show up and do it. So I think it's, yeah, we'll think of something. We'll think of some angle there. I'm willing to make a bet in the, you know, 99.9% chance that we're going to be right.
You just pull out an insurance policy. It's like what they do for the NCAA March Madness. Like, nobody ever gets it, but they still get insurance for however much, just on the off chance somebody does. Yeah.
That's true.
So what, out of worlds, Chris and I feel like when we talk about, just like random shit that could be a part of it, you know, in like 5 years or like just anywhere down the road, we don't really talk much about that stuff publicly. It's more like either reacting to, you know, worlds or talking more like logistics. But I'm curious, from your opinion, you've kind of seen like this past year where we added a bunch of shit, maybe like 10% of the things that we thought about. But from your perspective, what's something random that you would like to see, whether it's like, I don't know, like a music festival or like anything? What's something random that you would like to see a part of the world's feature, I guess?
Dang, that's a great question. I think like it going hand in hand with some sort of big beer festival alongside it. And I know that was like, you guys have talked about that and whatnot, and it was awesome to have like two brothers there. Like that was phenomenal. But like, to have more breweries included, make it more of like a beer festival, and then like the beer mall is happening, but it's more of like the entertainment around it, the halftime show, whatever you want to call it. I think events like that like succeed. And then I'm trying to think any other random things, like music festival or something like that included in it would be awesome. Like, just more of a party atmosphere. Mm-hmm. But like, honestly, this year, like, I think the big thing that stood out was like, it was phenomenal having like the food trucks. There's tons of beer that was provided by like Two Brothers, and I know you're still sipping on some there, Chris.
Yeah, still working on it. Shout out Two Brothers.
Yeah, that was awesome. And then there's tons of like little tents set up that had other sponsors and other vendors. But the production of it was incredible. I think the amount of comments and people that have like messaged me, talked to me about like the overall live stream, the video production, it was, that stood out. Like, so if you could follow suit with more of that stuff, I think naturally there will be things that like are magnetized towards that.
For sure. Yeah. I think it was awesome to see it all come together. Like, no major screw ups, weather held up, which was, you know, it was very close to not happening. And then all of the different food trucks, vendors, like everything came together, which was awesome. But yeah, now of course, always scheming to think about what to make it even bigger and better to get more people to come. Cause it was a great turnout, but yeah, it'd be sweet to, you know, have it be more on par with any other sporting event where it's like, are there 10,000 people there watching or whatever. And yeah, beer festival definitely would be a way to get a lot of people out. That would, you know, also be very, you know, yelling heavily as spectators when they're a little, you know, inebriated. So I think that would add a lot of atmosphere to it. But yeah, got to also find the venue is always the hard part too. Just getting a venue that allows all that. And hopefully if it does, you know, if we do get more people in person, like, we're going to actually need more of like a stadium type setting. And yeah, I don't know how many stadiums allow like beer festivals to go on alongside of it and all that. But yeah, there's a lot that could be done there. It's just kind of a matter of like figuring out what's feasible and, you know, what's how much time can we allocate to figuring this all out, especially as people who had never put together a beer festival or a concert. Now we put together a beer mile, but not any of the other stuff.
Right. Yeah. I think like you're just trying to tap into like who finds it interesting and why they find it interesting and like what would gravitate them to come watch this event. Like it's a crazy event and it's certainly entertaining. But like what's going to get people out of their house to go actually watch it or participate in it. So I think just like, yeah, you have to tap into the running community. Like it's great to have like elite runners or I don't know. I think if we did something like a sponsored pro heat of runners that like don't really have a beer mile history, but think they can do it. Like, let's get you on the line. Let's get you at the event. And like, let's try and get you a bonus of some sort. If you are under a certain time, like, I think that's the way to grow the event on the running side of things. And then the beer like mm-hmm. party aspect of it, I think is like tapping into, yeah, the people that like to party, people like that like to drink, people like that ultimately like to have fun and don't take themselves too seriously. So, yeah, it's just, I think the beer mile community itself and the supporters of it, like it's a fun crowd. Like it's not, we don't take ourselves too seriously. Yes. Obviously we do like to drink, but like, we're pretty responsible other than the sweets sometimes. but yeah, I mean like it's a happy go lucky kind of community and like everyone takes care of each other. So, if no one's ever been at some of these events, I certainly say like, don't try a beer mile. Like, don't try one. It's not that fun. But if you're going to come to the event, try one at an actual event. Like, come next year to Chicago or wherever it's being hosted, or go to a World Classic event and see firsthand, or watch the live stream. Like, you want to get a good taste of it. The live stream was a great, like, I don't know, that preview of it was a 2-hour live stream that took place, yeah. Right?
Yep. And 2 hours.
And it was awesome. So, yeah, I think even like that could be sold to other broadcasting stations and like a lot of people would find that very interesting, I think.
Yeah, that's certainly the goal. We're going to try to repackage it and see if any networks or streaming platforms or anything would, you know, pick it up just to show it. I think that'd be awesome. Yeah, and I actually really like Adam and I think we talked about this a little bit, the idea of like if we could get pro runners to come try it and just do a time bonus, like basically any guy that can break five, like if they break five on the day, you get you get some sort of bonus for doing it. I think that would be a huge like way to grow it, you know, and do something similar on the women's side. But yeah, I think in order to do that, we would need to get back to it being, you know, later in the year, like September or October, because otherwise we'll always be competing against US champs and, you know, every country's probably, championships.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it will next year. So hopefully that's not a problem, but USA's will still be July ish.
Right. Yeah. Where do you want it to be next year, Corey? If you had your pick on ideal spot.
Good question.
Windsor, Ontario, Canada.
I mean, I'm for it. It's close. It's close for us.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, yeah, it just depends. Like, logistically, if it could happen, like, I think it'd be a great spot. And I think a lot of people would come. Like, I think businesses, a lot of people would jump aboard. And I know it's easy to talk about it, but I do think there's a community here that would be willing to like support and like participate or at least go to spectate an event like this. So, I've sent a few emails, so we'll see what comes back from them. But
okay.
Windsor, Ontario, obviously hometown bias as hell. But I would love to go to Australia. That's on the bucket list. I know that's been in talks. I know also Paris has been in the talks. So there's a lot of great places that I'd love to go. And I love to travel. I know the community of beer milers love to travel, so I'm game wherever it is, but those are spots like Australia's bucket list. Windsor, Ontario would just be a dream to have it at home.
There have been a couple people on Instagram previous to Worlds happening who are like, you know, from Toronto or wherever else that I've like met, like asked, oh, like, when are you guys going to put one on here? And we're like, well, just find us a track and we'll see you over there.
Oh man, Toronto would be fun too. It's a good hub too. Like Windsor's a little tougher, but at least we have Detroit across the border and then you just have to cross back. But Toronto would be, I mean, it's a booming city. It's crazy if you've never been. It's a multicultural hub of Canada. So,
Flights are not that bad.
Exactly. So, I'm game to have it anywhere. Where's your dream spot?
Oh man. As a racer, yeah, I'd love to go to Australia, Paris, like anywhere, but as a like being involved in it now in terms of coordination, it actually would be really convenient for us to do Windsor, because actually a lot of the video team that we worked with, they actually live in like Grand Rapids, Michigan. So they're, you know, they're already closer that way. So then it's actually feasible to use the same team. Whereas you go to Australia or something, I don't really know how that would work if we'd have to like get a completely different team.
Even if you take it to a skeleton crew, that's probably...
It's also really, it's going to be way more expensive.
$20,000 worth of travel.
Yeah. So just for the sake of, you know, what we did this year was pretty solid. If we don't want to like have to restart every single year, it'd be awesome if it was, you know, still somewhere within driving distance of where we are. But yeah, I mean, selfishly, like, you know, racer, whatever, I think it'd be sweet. Australia is like on my bucket list for sure of places to go. I think it'd be awesome to go to Australia.
Yeah. I just think like, this year was such a step forward, and like, man, compared to the other beer moms, not that they were ever bad, but I think this one just showed a lot more growth and a lot more potential. So if this is something like we could build off, and like if it was easier to build off somewhere in North America, I think like I'd be all in for that over like jumping overseas to just do another beer mom somewhere else. I think it's better to like invest in what you have, and then like let's grow this thing. Let's see who else wants to like join this community, this crazy community.
Would you
rather have like a Canadian championship started, or combine and do like a North America championship?
I think right now, number wise, I think North American would be better, and then eventually to branch out. But yeah, I think years ago I would have said like Canadian champs would be awesome, but I don't see the same crowd of Canadian beer mallers. So this is a calling to all Canadian beer mallers that are watching this. Get your asses out. You actually have to go do a beer mile town shot and prove yourself, obviously. But once you prove yourself, like these events, you'll keep coming back.
Why do you think there aren't that many Canadians? I mean, it was you, Lewis, and Phil. It's like the original crew from, you know, like Lewis and Phil from 2014. Like they've been doing it this whole time. Why is there not a single new face on the Canada side? What's up with that?
I don't know. I don't know. Like maybe there's a lot. Maybe we're stupid by doing it. I don't know. Maybe think we're stupid, but at the end of the day, like, I don't know why there's not as much. I don't know if there's like, it used to be such an underground thing. Like end of the season, beer mile was like a staple thing you do. So I don't know if that's like evaporated from like university traditions, or if people are just giving up on the beer mile dream, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. I've heard the opposite in terms of it being still like the underground end of season thing. Like I know we went to Iowa State. I know that running club has kept that tradition alive since all these years since we were there. Like they still do a couple beer miles a year. I know like all the club teams in Chicago do at least one beer mile a year as a club. So it seems like that tradition is still strong, but yeah, not many people are. I mean, who knows? Maybe it'll change this year. I guess there hasn't been that same level of like, oh man, I can get, you know, popular, like it's actually a legit sport. Like it looks legit now because we had a broadcast and all of that, and like have some solid prize money and everything. So maybe this will actually help fuel some people to say that it's worth trying for it versus, yeah, I don't know, when you have like 50 people go to some of the other world classics or 100 people or whatever the case is. And some of the times when we're on, not even on a legitimate track, like in Berlin. So now it's, yeah, maybe something that people would aspire to more than in the past years, where it looked like maybe, it looks kind of, you know, low quality and like not many people do it.
Right. Yeah. I think at the end of the day, like, I think also the times, like, and times get lost, like people don't really like, you don't hear about people that run 5:30 as much unless they like come to you, email you, tell you, right?
Yep.
I think that gets sometimes lost. And then even like I've seen a few messages on that video you guys posted, like a lot of people just don't know how to get into it. So like maybe they have run a pretty decent time, but like they haven't come to a World Classic. They don't know how to get into it. It's like a one-off tradition thing, but they don't do anything after that. So maybe if there was like, more Canadian, maybe if there was a Canadian championship, maybe I'm like wrong about what I said. Maybe that would like be a place for the Canadians to be like, okay, I'm going to come try myself. I know I've run 5:40. Let's see if I can run 5:20 in a competition. So maybe I have to rethink that. Maybe that is a way to go about it.
I mean, yeah. Ideally in like a decade, all of the countries that we see competing like today have national championships.
And that's the qualifier, just like anything else. Yeah. Yeah. It could, if we do, if it somehow does end up, you know, World Classic is in Windsor or Toronto or whatever next year, maybe it would make sense to do an actual, you know, Canadian championship. And then that way that's an actual, like, cause then people who do qualify would actually go, cause it's in home country, like no excuses not to show up to that.
Right.
So that could be a good approach.
I think, like, cause now you guys know like how Chicago worked. Hosting at home, you guys have a really good like base of like people within that network that like you can call back and they'll jump on board. They know what it's about. So I think once you have like something like that established, I think it's easy to like be like, okay, we hosted the World Classic, we're going to host a little bit smaller scale of an event and it's going to be the Canadian Championship, but at least you can sort of pick and choose what people you need at that event and like what kind of stuff needs to be part of it.
Right.
You almost have to start big and show them the value of that big event and then sort of like dim it down from there.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Hopefully Worlds this year, like being able to kind of demonstrate like here's like the gist of what this is going to be, maybe a slightly smaller scale, but then like use that to get into other cities. Cause then once you have it, like to your point, USA's for us next year will hopefully be, you know, much less work. But if we can just have like one of those gets spun up, or even if like say we have it in Windsor, use that as like the hey, like, you know, this is what we did at this track, like next year can we have, you know, next summer can we do Canadian championships that'll follow the same model. Like once I feel like once places like know how things are run, they are like, oh yeah, cool, like if you guys ever want to come back, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the community's there though. I think you guys have showed that like there's a lot of people, a lot of businesses, a lot of sponsors that are willing to like be part of something like this. It's just like, you have to go out, you have to show them like the final product of everything. And then they're like, oh, like you got to find those people that like fit the alignment of the beer mile community. Like they don't take themselves too seriously. They want to invest in this like interesting, unique, cool, whatever you want to call it kind of event. And then, yeah, I mean, I think there certainly is like a return on investment from like, dude, the collaborative post you guys posted the other day, it's up to like 4 million views. Like there's certainly like some sort of audience for this event.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's exciting to see like, yeah, that real slash TikTok slash, I mean, we put it everywhere, but across platforms, it's over 10 million views now. So like over 10 million people have like watched you run with one shoe and do a 430 beer mile. But that shows that like, it has there been any like single track race that, you know, 10 million people have watched? Like, no, it shows that this is like, can be much broader and, you know, be more mainstream than just running, because it relates to the other piece. Like runners get the beer mile, but then also just the average person gets the beer mile because they're like, oh man, four beers, or oh man, I ran a 10-minute mile in PE class and these guys are crushing four beers and doing it. Like the average person gets how impressive it is versus a, you know, a 345 mile versus a 355 mile. Like the average person has no idea what the difference between that is. They're just like, ah,
I mean, how many people like actually recognized you at the event? I'm sure like a good handful of folks, but I thought it was interesting that so many people that were just in attendance watching, like genuinely, like it was either their first beer mile that they watched in person, or they just like, they have done beer miles, but have never like, didn't even know that there was a championship for it.
Yeah. It was unique. Like it was cool. Like there was CrossFitters there. There's like niche runners that are there, like trail runners. Like there was this lady I met that was from Denver that flew in with her son to do it. And like, I don't know, it was just crazy to see like what kind of people it attracted. And it's a very, very diverse group. So that like, even the group of beer milers we have, like there's engineers, there's salespeople, there's financial advisors, like you name it, there's lawyers, you know, like we have a very diverse community that like is representative of all different people. And I think like the crowd that the beer mile attracts is the same way. So it's not a one mold type community.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it, the marketing is the hard part. Like you said, a lot of people commenting saying, I just don't know. I didn't know this was a thing. I wasn't aware of it. How do I even sign up for it? That sort of thing. It is tough to, without a massive budget spend to promote, like we're really relying on, you know, these like reels, Instagram, like you're kind of relying on some of that stuff or just like local outreach to clubs and that sort of thing to get people to show up. So hopefully this just kind of compounds over time as you know, everyone who hopefully saw that and they were interested in the future, then, you know, hopefully they're following along and, you know, maybe they catch the advertisement or the plug for the next thing. And actually we get some more people coming in. But yeah, I think a lot of people that came this year, cause we had a lot of people throughout the US that showed up, not just Chicago, but yeah, Denver, Miami, like people were flying in from all over the US. So I think word of mouth was a huge piece of it. And, you know, like we get one person to sign up and then they're like, oh, I need to get all my friends and family to sign up or at least come watch. And it is, there are some good network effects there, but yeah, 100%. I just got to keep growing that awareness, which is definitely the hard part. It was hard, like setting this up, figuring out where to like spend the time and money marketing it. Like where do you reach the most people that are going to care versus not. So it's, it's going to be something we continue to iterate on for sure.
And you don't want it to be like, you want this thing to grow, but you also don't want it to be like a dying investment. So, I mean, I think even if like one day it became feasible to like have a city to city tour of some sort, like I think within like a couple months span or however you set it up, like I think that could also be a cool way to generate like excitement and then also get new people to try it within those specific places. Cause then those people wouldn't have to travel as far. They could go to a specific city, whatever it was. But I think that's another way they could do it. It's just about figuring out, like, you obviously don't want to be in the hole a significant amount. But to do that.
I mean, it's getting to the point, like for sure. Like this year, if we just did, like we didn't have any championship races, we just did open, we didn't do even just like a live stream, we could still like have like a content team like filming stuff for reels and whatnot, and we could still have beers. But I mean, it would have been, I mean, worth our time in dollars and cents, maybe not, but like we wouldn't like lose money on it for sure. So I think it's a matter of like, There was a shitload of people in the US who are interested in it. And I think now that there's like a formula for other US cities to be like, hey, like, look, this is what we did. Mm-hmm. And here's like how many people are going to travel to your city. I think it's definitely feasible over the next couple of years to have like multiple events throughout the US and potentially even Canada. It's just like a matter of having boots on the ground and then like, being, whether it's like Chris or I or like having kind of like organizing worlds, like having a very dependable person wherever it's happening.
Yeah. You almost need like a franchise owner in each city. Yeah. That's like the one that does the local work. They source the venue, they take flyers to all the local running stores and breweries, like kind of all that sort of, you need someone to kind of own that piece of it. And then, you know, then use the scale to generate audience outside of just the city, like all of that. But because the two big costs were the video production and the elite athlete travel that John pays for. Like those are the big costs. So if you have the hub model and do a tour, like you're saying, I mean, both of those things would be, well, the elite travel would be like eliminated in that case. And then the production piece of it would be, you could tone that down a lot and not do like the full on broadcast and just do, like Adam was saying, just still film it and put out all the race videos after, but not, you know, have a team of like 15 people, like actually producing it live. You don't necessarily need to do that for just the local races. So there's a model there that it could be sustainable for sure. But yeah, requires more than probably just Adam and I, doing it. That's for sure.
It's more than a two-man job, especially if it's a bigger scale like that. But even like a qualifying tour of some sort like that, like,
be cool.
And it's like, and you get big guns maybe that like want to qualify for the beer mile, like World Classic. And maybe that's the lead up to the event. Maybe it's like
absolutely
qualifier, individual states or whatnot, or North American qualifier. And then you have the Canadian US champs and then the world champs. So everything sort of funnels into one. But yeah, that's sort of like, I think that's a long-term goal. It's certainly possible. It's just like finding the right people to like have as part of the team to help promote it.
Absolutely.
And on the content side of like having, yeah, like a touring qualifier, I feel like that's like, that like directly translates to like a Netflix Drive to Survive type, I don't know, documentary, but documentary series, I suppose.
Yeah, and I think there's definitely a market for something like that within like within the beer mall, like behind the scenes, like who are these people? Like, and I know the doc team is sort of working on like a smaller scale version of something like that. But like still, even like to have something that's a little more in depth, that's
and like, it like spans over time, kind of like to tell not just the story of one event, but like multiple athletes throughout however many months, you know, something that's like bigger. Yeah, for sure.
And then like in the these people's hometown, like there's so many different countries, there's so many different like variables to this event that like it's certainly unique to like find out like who's doing it, why they're doing it, like how far they're traveling, what the lead up is. Like there's just there's elements that you could tap into that would be interesting. All right, so, 1 second. I'm gonna get a quick beer.
Yeah,
do it. I've got a beer.
Yeah, I'm back.
Awesome. Yeah, these Prairie Paths are still going down pretty good. I like these things. Man, it's going to be sad when they're all gone. I don't know.
No.
How many six packs did you say you have, Adam, left of them?
I think I have five left.
Five. Yeah, I'm about five, six packs
five
left.
Too. Five left, and I'm going to save one of them that I'm just like not drinking.
Yeah.
So technically yeah. Four left.
As a keepsake that's going like somewhere on like a mantle.
Chris and I were talking about it. I was like, what's like an artsy fartsy way of preserving this, you know? So listeners, if you have any ideas how to preserve beer cans, let us know.
Yeah. I have a couple on my shelf behind me.
Oh, nice.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah. My head was in the way. So those are just empties though. But yeah, with the full ones, I was even thinking, I mean, I don't know, no one really wants to drink like, you know, three old beer in a few years from now, but there'd be something to keep it for. I don't know what it is yet, but there's something to keep it for.
You and I, next year we can do like celebrating, you know, 1 year after these custom beers.
Oh God. Still drinking this stuff in like 5 years. That'd be pretty funny.
Yeah. Tell me how it tastes 5 years. I dig it in the ground and then dig it out in 5 years. And
yeah. Time capsule it. I like it. one other topic I wanted to ask you about, Corey, cause I think, one thing I'm really impressed about is like you've transitioned, like you've been working full time for years now and still like training at a high level. And like this season you were, you know, 2 seconds off your 1500 meter PB, like, you know, working full time and all that. So yeah, I mean, how has that kind of change been from, you know, running is a part of your life. It's not like the only thing in your life. So like, how are you still like training at that high of a level, you know, in balancing everything? Like how are you doing it?
My biggest mindset, like this year going into like the beer mile and everything, is like treat running as a hobby, make it as fun as possible. So I do fit in like everything I possibly can throughout the day. And then I do a lot of cross training too, just to keep it fun. So running is not the only thing I'm doing all the time. But I'm getting in like the key workouts I have to get in. And then if I work at, say I start 9 to 5 every day, I'm waking up at like just before 8 o'clock, getting in a run or a swim or something. So I get that first workout in early in the day. And then I have an hour lunch break. So whether I go for a run, go for a walk with the dog, like get some sort of exercise in. And then after work, quickly before dinner, I'll get in a workout of some sort if I don't get one in the morning or at lunch. So yeah, it's just usually like pack my days as tight as I can. And then have time on the other hand for like my fiance, the dog, family, friends. So just... I heard a valuable quote like years ago, and it was like, a busy life is a full life. So if I'm living a busy life, like combined with a bunch of things, I feel like complete. I feel more satisfied. So, I just try and stay as busy as possible. And like sometimes sleep is sacrificed a bit, but at the end of the day, if I can't get sleep, good sleep for a night or two here and there, I'm not stressing like I used to, where it's like, shoot, I have to get this really key workout in. I'll get a run in that day. Push the workout to another day. So just being flexible in that sense too.
Yeah. Would you say your training, I guess like your total time training as well as like the intensity of your training is similar to what it was, you know, several years ago when you were, I guess, how would you even call yourself? Like professional, like professional athlete trying to make it big. But yeah, are you still training with that same amount of time and intensity and everything now that you were then, or, and just, you know, just fitting it in a way that works with your day, or are you, doing a little bit less and maybe that's still working?
I'd say like I'm doing quite a bit of running still, not as much as I used to, like say back when I was just training for like track and field, all I was doing was running like 140 to 150 kilometers a week. Now I'm like 110-ish on average.
Okay.
But then I'm also swimming like 4 times a week and biking 1 to 2 times a week. So just structure the training a little bit more, but I get those key workouts in as well. I think I spend a lot less time on the track nowadays. So like I used to be on the track, like during track season, 3 times a week, every week, consecutive weeks. Now it's like, I'll do it with my hills like once a week. I'll get that like steady state in, and then I'll jump on the track like once a week. I think there's other ways to like get the same sort of effort and keep it fun. If I'm on the track all the time, just hitting splits and going for certain numbers all the time, it's really not that fun. It does feel like a chore and feels like a job. So shaking it up and doing things that like I find benefit me, I find fun, I like that's the shit I love.
That's huge. Are you doing most of your stuff solo, or do you train with anyone?
Yeah, completely solo. I mean, occasionally I'll jump on the track with the university guys and like, okay, we'll either be doing the same workout or something like, or we'll just be on the track at the same time, or I'll go for like an easy run with my brother or go to the track with him. He does his own thing, I do my own thing. So there's sometimes company, but I'd say like 90 to 95% is like just solo, go grind and just like trapped in your own thoughts, finding like ways to enjoy it. So, my fiance will bike next to me quite often too. So I can't say I'm as solo as I'm not that solo all the time, but, she certainly helps like keep me motivated too.
With the swimming and biking, any thoughts going into like the triathlon world?
There's always thoughts there. Always.
I feel like if you do, yeah, you got to, so somebody who is like very interested in that reel, Paul Felder is, a UFC commentator and like former UFC fighter, but very into triathlons. I feel like if you dip your toe into tries, you might have to give him a beer mile experience.
Yeah. I mean, the funny thing is, so Paul Felder and like one of my best buds, Lionel Sanders. So Paul on the tail end of his career, he started getting into triathlons and that kind of training. So he was like on YouTube, found like Lionel's channel, and like Lionel's channel is pretty popular. So he's looking through his videos. Then Paul saw me and a couple. So like we all connected when I was in Arizona living there, and like great guy. He's always been super supportive, and, it'd be fun to like divvy it up with him in the triathlon world and then have him come join the beer mile world and see what that's about. And then maybe, I mean, I used to do karate back in the day, but I don't want to call myself like a martial artist by any means, but it'd be fun to like divvy it up and do a workout of, like a UFC fighter.
Yeah.
That'd be nuts. Yeah. You have done some triathlons, right? Have you ever raced tri or no?
Done tons of training. I've actually only raced one, and it was the worst experience of my life. Like, okay. I was like, I think 10 or 11 years old. I did like the kids try, and like in the water, we're in like this disgusting water in my hometown. And like, I get out of the water, puke my guts out because I just swallowed so much water. Get on the bike. I get stung by a freaking bee on the bike. And then after all that was just the most miserable run of my life. Cause I was like, all these kids have all these like high tech road bikes. And I'm like 10 or 11. My parents aren't buying me that shit. So like, I have this like rugged old, like mountain bike that like does not go that fast. And I'm like huffing and puffing. And there's like tons of kids that are just destroying me. Women that are, or girls that are destroying me. So it was like, it was pretty demoralizing. Never went back. And it still takes me a bit to like want to dip into that that world again.
And by the time you get to the actual running, you're like, wow, like, oh man, these times are slow. Like if I was just to run this straight up, it gets very demoralizing.
Definitely. So yeah, I mean, eventually it's there. Like I'm keeping the option there if I ever want to. Like since I do a bit of swimming, I think I can handle the like up to half Ironman like swim distance. Mm-hmm. But I just don't know when, and obviously it's a bit of an investment to dip into that world as well. So I prioritize things like buying a house and yeah.
You can either have a down payment on a house or you can get a bike. Take your pick, one or the other.
or a car. I mean,
or a car. Yeah.
Sometimes these tri bikes like with the wheels and everything are just as much as like a cheap car. So it's just crazy to me.
It's nuts. That is the nice thing about running. I mean, there's obviously technology in running with different shoes, but it's like, you know, the most you're paying is like $300 for, you know, the top end shoe. And, you know, at least everyone has the same shoe. So it's, you know, even playing field, but the bike game can just be, it's an endless battle to have the better equipment than everybody else.
Yeah. There's so many components. Like if you strip a bike apart, like the amount of things you can upgrade on is just like mind blowing. So, yeah, I mean, eventually I definitely want to dip into that world, but like, I think sponsors for that, something like that would be like a necessity.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you just let Lionel let you borrow a bike for a race or two. That'd be the other option. Someone who has like 15 bikes.
Yeah. I think that's the only other option to get into it. Like hand me down or something, that someone that can help you out for the time being.
Well, man, so what do you got on tap the rest of the vacation? You guys have any plans, or are you just chilling and getting as much sun time as possible?
Yeah, so St. Martin, it's a beautiful island. Like, love it here. There's a Dutch side, French side. So we're on the Dutch side. And today, actually, this morning, we went to like a rum distillery here. So like, we were just going through a tasting, and like, she's giving us small shots, and we're like, what the hell is this? This is nothing. Like, she's not giving us that much. And then we go through like the first signature ones they had. And then we thought the tasting was done. And then we go to this other wall, and there's like 10 to 12 different like bottles set up, and we were going to try all those other ones. So that was like, I understand now why they're giving us half. By 11 AM, we are all feeling pretty good. So anyways, we did the rum distillery today. We'll go to there's a couple breweries around. So we'll do that, tomorrow, I believe. Going to go into the town, do some shopping. Definitely spend some more beach time. But yeah, this vacation is more or less just like relax. It's been busy at home, and like just coming off the beer mall and stuff. It's nice to be here with fam and like just enjoy the scenery.
That's huge. Sounds like a good time. I'm jealous. I wish I was there right now. That's for sure.
and man, I'll tell you what, all inclusives are dangerous. This is my first one ever. And, It's a dangerous spot to be. If all the beer malls are here, it would be.
Oh my God.
They would go bankrupt. The business, that is.
100%. Yeah. We would put them out of business. Absolutely.
Oh yeah. Very, man. Maybe that is a model. What if we just have the beer mile at an all-inclusive resort, and the all-inclusive resort's the sponsor for the race? I don't know. Yeah. Might be something there.
We need to find an all-inclusive that has a track. I'm sure one exists.
There's gotta be. There's got to be somewhere, at least close enough. It's like down the street or something. Yeah.
We got to talk about that one.
I mean, I don't think anyone would make it to the start line then. Like the Swedes, Norwegians, they would be so blasted the 2 days leading into the race. They wouldn't even show up. Or they'd be crawling to the start line.
Okay. I'm going to tell a story real quick about the Swedes and Norwegians.
Please do.
I mean, I don't know. You might have to take this one out, but
we'll see. I mean, Marcus, I know Marcus listens to the podcast, and he always messages us afterwards and is like, that's hilarious. Thanks for plugging the Swedes. Like, he loves when we talk about how crazy they are. So, okay. You know, we'll see. We'll hear the story, but I think we'll probably be good.
Marcus is also shirtless the entire time from the beer mile finishing to literally we walk in the after party. He's still shirtless. And then I think I saw him the next day and he was still shirtless. I was like, this guy just went on an absolute rager of a bender after that beer mile. So Marcus, hilarious. But the story I was going to say is in Belgium, I think it was the morning of the beer mile there. And one of the Norwegian guys came in and I was like, where's he coming from? He's staying with us. Like, why is he coming in from like down the street? And all the Norwegians and Swedes were like, dude, he got put in jail last night. I was like, what happened to him? And they said, like, I guess he got too hammered. He was getting a little too, I don't know. He was just too uppity, I guess. and he was smacking his head on poles, just being an absolute like maniac, having a good time, I guess. And yeah, they threw him in the junk tank, and then he got out that morning, did the beer mat, and his first beer he puked. Like, he was so hung, so destroyed that, like, yeah, he had an awful time. But I was just like, this guy went to jail. It was just, yeah, funny,
quick,
funny story.
Quick in and out.
the fact that he towed the line and was still like, yeah, I'm doing this is, I mean, props to him.
Yeah, yeah, he deserves a participation medal of some sort.
That's right. Yeah. I'm still waiting. Marcus, if you're listening, man, the Swedish team, I don't know how you guys haven't won a world title yet. You got the talent to do it. You just got to show up on peak performance on race day, not peak performance the Thursday before race day. Like, you guys can do it. We're still waiting.
We should trick them and, like, in the athlete comms, send out the date, the real date to all the other countries, but then tell them, like, oh, actually, it's, you know, 2 days before, so that when they go do their first beer mile of the trip, it's actually the championship.
I think that'd be smart. Like, the fact that they do a beer mile the day before the race, or at least, like, three quarters of one, is just, like, I'm like, guys, what are you doing? Like,
yeah,
like I'm saying, what are you doing, guys? But I love seeing them have a good time. It's actually entertaining as hell. But I'm just like, for the sake of your race, do you really want to like do a beer mile the day before? Probably not.
Definitely not. But it does add some good atmosphere and some good entertainment factor. So appreciate also, that at least.
Chris, I got to say, this is completely off topic, but when you did your beer mile or beer 2 mile,
yeah,
in that video, my brother like has watched that one a few times, and he's like, look at his stomach grow like every lap. So the first four beers, you can't really tell that much. It's a little bit, but then towards beer 5, 6, 7, it's like you can see your stomach.
It's noticeable.
Yeah.
That's a mind boggling record.
I should have done it shirtless just for that factor. Yeah. Yeah. Cause well, Jim Finlayson, when he did his, he did it shirtless and you could visibly see him every lap growing. And I like could feel that I was growing every lap, obviously. So yeah. And I can tell in the video too, like looking at myself, I'm like, yeah, my stomach is sticking out a lot. I should have just done it shirtless so you could like really see the action, but
yeah, absolute boiler at the end of it. Oh my goodness.
You could get that beer 2 mile record, don't you think? I think you could.
I just don't know. I've never pushed the limits that much to know how 8 beers would sit with like 4 beers. I've always been like, I've had a pretty decent time. Like there's times where I'm like, that didn't go down that well, but I don't think there's any time in the race where I've been like, I'm going to puke. Like this is like, I'm seeing red, like, oh crap, this is going to go wrong.
Right.
That could change really quick after 5, 6, 7. Like that's still 4 more beers. So time wise, running wise, I think like it's doable. It's just like,
oh, for sure. Yeah.
Don't know how those beers would sit at all.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be something you might have to like try a few times in order to get there.
That's the toughest part is you need multiple cracks at it and you're like, damn.
But do you really want multiple cracks?
Yeah, no, multiple occasions. I'm going to be getting after it. You know? Well, yeah.
I don't want the smoke, boys. I don't want that. I don't want to have to try that thing more than once. Like that's a one and done kind of thing for me.
It is kind of nice. Like going into that, the beer 2 mile, it was kind of nice just saying like, you know, all I have to do is I just got to run like 70s, you know, like it's not like a mile where you're like, oh shit, I need to get out hard and get after it. So mentally it seemed a lot easier because it was more like, okay, I'm gonna go out, not a tempo run, obviously faster than a tempo run for me for sure running 70s, but it was a different mindset where like it wasn't breathing wise, it was not hard like ever pretty much. It was just the volume. So like from that aspect, you know, you could go out, you'd run like 68, 69s and like running wise, it should be pretty comfortable. It's just a matter of, yeah. Can you fit the beers or not?
It just seems like a like constant grind. Like every beer, it's like, got to get to the next one. Got to get to the next one. Like, and it's like, I really need to get to the next one. I remember you guys in Berlin, I think it might have been like the night after the beer.
Yeah,
mile.
We tried one. Yeah.
You guys did a 2 mile there on the track. And I think it was you and John, maybe.
Yeah, me and John. And that was miserable because they only had the only beer we could find was like warm Moosehead lager. And it just foamed up so bad. It was, I think I puked on like on the fifth beer there. Like I barely made it past the beer mile and just.
I don't think I've ever seen so much puke on the track in my life. Like, and it was like, it was coming from deep. Like it was like,
yep.
It wasn't just pukes that were just like up here getting it out. It was like, it sounded like someone was dying.
I mean, it's going back to, you know, it's not ideal to do a beer mile the day before a peak race. I mean, that was definitely part of it too. It's like, we did the beer mile the day before. Like you don't, back-to-back beer mile days is not a peak performance situation. That's for sure.
No, it's not conducive to a happy stomach or a happy individual in general.
That's right. Oh man. Well, we better let you get back to, you know, sipping some brews on the beach. You know, we're holding you up here from family time. So appreciate you taking the time to catch up. I mean, is good. We haven't had a full proper catch up in a while. So I just enjoyed hearing how things are going and hearing your thoughts on the race too. It's good to catch up.
No, it's awesome. Thanks for having me on. And I think your next pod or next couple pods, you need to go back to one of the ones where you're 8 beers deep, you're having a pod, and it's not, has nothing to do with like no structure or anything. It just is going where it needs to go. And those are the best ones to listen to. So after this, there's a little more structure.
Doctor's recommendation. All right. You heard him, boys.
But I think the community loves those ones, and the community right now is speaking. Yeah, I'm speaking for them, but I think those ones are hilarious. So I love being part of the podcast, and I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, you don't have to say that twice. Adam and I, we're down for that. We'll make it happen.
Twist my arm.
Oh, awesome. Cheers, Corey. Enjoy the rest of your time on the beach.
Thanks so much, boys. Appreciate it. Have a good time in Chicago. And have fun paying off those second mortgages.
Yeah, we will. Cheers. Cheers. And there you have it, Mr. Corey Belmore.
I'm so happy that he gave us the green light to put out another Wasted episode.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Well, I think that might just have to be the next episode then. I think we'll just put that queue it up, put it next on deck.
You know, the heart wants what the heart wants. And when Corey asks for things, I feel like we got to deliver.
I can't say no to that. Can't say no to the guy who's got his face on 15 million phone screens throughout the world. So not going to deny him his wishes.
Yeah, between the 15-ish mil and then seeing the Beer Mile Worlds merch out on the trail is pretty fun.
It feels like validation for all of the work and money spent.
it for sure makes my training way less miserable when it's like super hot out and I see people in those. I'm like, oh yeah, like, you know, if they can do it, I can do it.
Does anyone recognize you or nah?
No, that's actually, we talked a bit about it in Corey's interview, but it's something that has struck me for sure this year. Like last year, I was impressed by the amount of people who would like come up to me and be like, oh, Adam, like I like Chris and your podcast is amazing. Like it's so fun to listen to. And that was like incredibly, you know, because like we're just kind of, you know, we're doing it, we're having fun. It's not like we're, you know, Joe Rogan or anything like that. But it was cool nonetheless to like have people react to it. And then fast forward to this year, where like people don't know you, people don't know me, people don't know Corey, but they're just there and they're like, yo, Beer Mile is awesome, blah, 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 blah. I had so many conversations where I'm like, you know, figuring something out, whether it's like the kiddie pool or just like random volunteer shit. And somebody's like asking a question and I'll just be like, oh yeah, actually, like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, oh, like, how do you know that? I'm like, I'm just helping out, you know, I've been around
for a little volunteer.
But I thought it was so funny that this year, like I guess it just goes to show that the Beer Mile is so much bigger than Worlds. And this is like really the first year that we brought all those people who like knew about it, but didn't necessarily know about like, you know, the world championship out. So it's fun to see.
Super fun. And if you want to get yourself some of the merch, go get it now, especially the USA Beer Mile tank, if you're watching the video version. Oh, beautiful, beautiful. I have two of them myself. I feel like I should maybe like nab a couple more, because, you know, just in case anything happens to one.
I was just gonna say I might need two.
Yeah, I'll give you some as well. I mean, just in case anything happens to one of them, like I can't be out USA Beer Mile tank. It's too comfortable, too stylish.
You should find an extra small, because I feel like we probably have more of those than like per se a medium, and then frame it.
Ooh, that's a good idea. I thought you were gonna say get the extra small and then just cut off the bottom and make it a crop top.
Honestly, that works too. I like that.
Gotta have all the varieties. Well, excellent. I think we can wrap that up here. Thank you to our sponsors, Long Run Coffee. Go to longruncoffee.com for some electrolyte infused coffee to start your day. Use code BEERMILE for 10% off. That's all one word. And then also manscaped.com. You know, as always, they still hooking everybody up with the 20% off free shipping with the code BEERMILE, all one word. Head to manscaped.com and make sure you're all trimmed up and feeling
confident. Trim those bushes. Summer.
Yeah, yeah, it's bush trimming season. It has been for a while, actually, but
true.
Never goes out of style. Always keeping the bushes trimmed.
And I guess we'll see you in another episode. I guess we'll be hammered. So look forward to that.